Today, the church around the world commemorates the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. It has been 40 days since Christmas. Jewish custom was for infant boys to be presented in the temple 40 days after birth. And it goes along with another commemoration. Today is also known as the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Jewish law held there that women were unclean following childbirth, and 40 days afterwards, they were required to go to the temple as part of this ritual to make an offering of a lamb or two pigeons, two turtle doves, to both redeem their child and be purified. Mary offered two turtle doves, which seems to be evidence that the Holy Family was poor. And there's so much more we could say about this ritual, which is explained in great detail in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, but our focus this morning is the identity of the Christ child as articulated by two devout people at the temple. And we will deal with this in reverse order. There was a faithful woman, a prophetess named Anna, who, even though we have few words about her in Luke's gospel, it is clear she was quite the evangelist. Anna was a woman who fasted and prayed, and after she came face to face with the Christ child, Anna told the good news about Jesus to all who were concerned about the affairs of the day in Jerusalem, and we'll get to more about that in a moment. Before we're told about Anna, we are introduced to Simeon, a righteous and devout man. Our gospel writer Luke states that Simeon was looking for the consolation of Israel, which would have been a concern for Anna and others as well. In other words, Simeon and Anna knew that life was not as it should be for the Israelites, God's chosen people whose homeland was occupied by the oppressive Roman Empire. And they, Simeon, Anna, and others, were praying for God to intervene, to change their people's lives for the better. Think for a moment about how desperately and fervently we might pray for our world to be different, free from people and systems which oppress us, free from disease and violence, free from injustice. Simeon and Anna prayed for the same kinds of things that we pray for, and it's not much of a leap to understand where they were coming from. When Joseph, Mary, and Jesus arrive at the temple, they meet Simeon first. Simeon is a man who, before this moment, had an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God. And it seems the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he met the Christ child. And on this day, the Holy Spirit comes to rest on Simeon and guides Simeon to the temple, at which point Simeon takes the Christ child in his arms and sings praises to this child through a prophecy, praises that we still sing today. We've done so already this morning. And we sing these praises daily in our evening prayer from the prayer book. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised, for these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations, and the glory of your people, Israel. Simeon lived his life in hope that God had not forgotten the Jewish people. Simeon trusted that one day God would send a Savior to again move God's people from bondage to freedom, from death to life. When Simeon encountered the Christ child, Simeon knew that God had once again fulfilled a promise. Simeon could die in peace, trusting that the future of not only the Jewish race was secured by God in Christ, but all of humanity's future is secure because of Christ. And when the life of Christ becomes the model for all human life, the world becomes as God intends. If you would, consider the imagery Simeon uses when speaking about the Christ child, a light to enlighten the nations. As I alluded to moments ago, much of our lives parallel the lives of Simeon and Anna. We could say that Simeon was, for most of his life, waiting for God's light, because the world in which Simeon lived, not unlike the world in which we live, his world was filled with so much darkness. And if we bring it back in today, as far as life in the Northern Hemisphere is concerned, February 2nd is roughly halfway between the winter solstice and summer solstice. We don't experience as much darkness today as we did in mid-December, but we don't have as much daylight as we will in late spring or summer. We can think of how many pagan rituals there are around this time of year, from Imbolc, with its blessing of plows and livestock, to, of course, Groundhog Day, Huxitani Phil, and Phil Connors, and how the rest of the winter supposedly plays out depending on whether or not Phil sees his shadow. Apparently this morning he did not see his shadow, so supposedly winter will be shorter. Who knows? But the point is, humans yearn for more light, more warmth, and we are looking for signs that light and warmth are coming. The story of Jesus Christ picks up on this theme, which is why today is known as Candlemas, and why at the beginning of the liturgy we bless candles to use in our worship this year. It is no secret that our world is full of darkness, full of evil, full of those who seek their own good at the expense of another's. They want the light to themselves, even when it means casting others into the darkness. They do this maybe because they believe light is in too short of a supply. But Simeon tells us something different about the true light who has come into the world. Simeon makes the bold claim that the light of Christ is not limited to one group of people. No, the light of Christ came to enlighten all the nations of the earth. And though some will try to extinguish the light of Christ and think at some point that they have succeeded, the light of Christ is actually an eternal flame. And I wonder, and this is pure speculation on my part, but I wonder how many lesser lights Simeon was tempted to be guided by. What I mean is, Simeon prayed for a better future for his people, his nation. And even though there's no family of his mentioned, I'm sure that Simeon had a family. That's of course the case. But Simeon was looking for a light which would turn back the darkness of an oppressive government, a system which dehumanized people created in the image of God, a hierarchy which saw its subjects as the unwashed masses. Maybe at some point in his life, as he prayed, Simeon might have seen a glimmer of hope in a politician or a military leader or an ideologue or even an athlete. Who knows? But what we do know is that Simeon was truly at peace only when he embraced the light of Christ. If we are concerned about the darkness in our 21st century world, the future of our nation, the well-being of the earth, will we be satisfied with, are we content to get by with the abundance of lesser lights that invite us to be guided by them, or will we like Anna and Simeon, finally give our whole selves over to the light of Christ, which God offers as guidance and warmth for all of creation. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.